Amen and amen. God bless you, Grace and Chris. What a profound message in that song. I hope and pray that you were tracking with those lyrics. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Being a Good Citizen in 2023. If you had a fleeting thought that I was about to talk about politics, it's a good thing that thought was fleeting, because I am not. However, there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, in the language of the New Testament, you have the thought of being a good citizen. That's literally what Paul says there in verse 27 of chapter 1. Only, so make this your first priority, let it be the priority that is above all of your other priorities. It can be your only, it should be your only first priority. Let your conduct be worthy. Again, in the language of the New Testament, be a good citizen. Now, when you hear me say that this morning, you might be thinking about politics. For these Philippian brothers and sisters, I can assure you that when they heard this sentiment, as this letter of joy was read aloud to them, they fully expected Paul's next words to be of Rome. Be a good citizen of Rome. However, that's not what the Apostle Paul was saying. And we'll see that more in just a moment. Remember, if you will, the Apostle Paul writes this first century letter to the brothers and sisters that were the church at Philippi. He was chained to a Roman prison guard. He was on house arrest for 2 years. When he went to eat, he was chained to the guard. When he went to sleep, chained to the guard. Wrote this letter, chained to the guard. And yes, as that song just spoke about a moment ago, again, thank you, Grace, thank you, Chris. Here in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, we have been talking about trials. We have been talking about adversity. We have been talking about suffering. And hopefully you realize that being chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day for 2 years was in fact a trial. It was in fact suffering. It was in fact adversity. The Apostle Paul was experiencing trials and adversity for preaching the gospel. I've tried to remind you in the recent Sundays that no one is immune from adversity. No one is immune from trials. As the song said just a moment ago, all of us will experience those raindrops. All of us will experience those tears. All of us will experience those sleepless nights. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, male or female, upper class, lower class, middle class, white collar, blue collar, no one is immune from the trials of life, including the Apostle Paul. I've tried to also remind you that all of us can identify with either being in the middle of a trial right now. Some of you are. It may be a trial with your health. It may be a trial with your finances, a trial with your marriage, a trial at school, at work, a trial with your family. Some of you may have just come out of a trial. It's in your rearview mirror, praise the Lord. But while you were there, it was awful. Or unfortunately, for some of you, you may not be in a trial. You may not have just come out of a trial, but there is one that is in your future. And you may not know it exactly, and I may not know it exactly, but the Lord knows it exactly. And we hope and pray that He will use those trials to make us more like Jesus. Last week, we saw a glimpse of the Apostle Paul's heart, his POV, his point of view, as he was considering the options that were in front of him. He may die there in chains. And if he died, hallelujah, because he was going to experience just like that. King Jesus. And he said, to die is gain. However, another option would be his deliverance, his release from these chains. And he might be able to go back to the Philippian church, back to the Philippian brothers and sisters, to encourage them, to disciple them, to teach them, to lead them. And that would be of great benefit for them. And then, if you'll remember, Paul had some type of revelation that confirmed to him that he was going to be released. And he would be able to spend time with them again. But he's writing this letter again, for their encouragement. And he's going to say to them, there's really just one point of verses 27 through 30, regardless of what happens, regardless if I die in chains, if I'm killed by the Roman government, regardless if I come to you again, doesn't matter. I want to encourage you to be good citizens, not of the United States, not of Rome, but be good citizens of heaven. Because that is where you ultimately belong. If you have found Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, would you stand for just a moment if you're able? Follow along as I read through the end of the chapter. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Let's pray together. Father, over these next few moments, as we gather around your word, which is the bread of life, feed us. Let us feast on your word. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would not only give us understanding, but application of your word in our lives. for that is what we need, and I pray that's what we desire this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Again, if you're taking notes this morning, there is just one point to Paul's message, and therefore one point to my sermon: be a good citizen. Be a good citizen, verse 27. Let your conduct be worthy. The language of the New Testament carries that idea of being a good citizen. The Philippian brothers and sisters were citizens of Rome. However, that's not what Paul's talking about here. Be a good citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Let your conduct be worthy, listen to this, of the gospel of Christ. That's a different qualifier. That's a different arena. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, remember that's one option from last week, or am absent, if I don't get to see you, I may hear of your affairs, that you, and then he shares with them the report that he hopes to hear. So what does being a good citizen of heaven look like in 2023? Well, let's look at the text. He says, first of all, that you stand fast, or stand firm. That you stand unwavering. I know that you are familiar with the secular cliche, tough times don't last, but tough people do. There is some truth to that. And there's even actually some truth to that in God's Word. How do we stand fast? How do we stand firm in the face of adversity? How do we stand firm? How do we be a good citizen in the face of adversity? Well, when we, as followers of Christ, make sure that regardless of the adversity, that we build our life on God's Word. Regardless of the trial and the tribulation that comes, it may be health, it may be finances, it may be family, it may be work. But in the midst of the trial, that we don't abandon or forsake all that we know. So if we want to be good citizens in the face of adversity, if we want to let our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, we need to stand fast, to stand firm, to persevere. And we do that by being obedient. Would you turn over to the left just a few pages to Matthew chapter 7? In the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus was concluding, wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount, he reminded those first century hearers that, like us, they will experience trial, they will experience tribulation, they will experience adversity, and whether or not you survive, remember, tough times don't last, but what tough people do, whether or not you are tough and you persevere will be dependent upon what you do with God's Word. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and then what does it say? Read it aloud with me, and does them. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And then read the next five words with me aloud. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Well, Jesus is telling a parable here. Telling the parable of a man who builds his house and he builds it on the sure foundation. And that sure foundation is obedience to God's word. And he even says here that tough times are not going to last here. What were the tough times? Well, verse 25, the rain, the floods, the winds, and what did they do? They beat on that house. And some of you this morning, you are in the midst of this storm and it is beating on your house. And I hope and pray that not only are you hearing the words, but you are doing God's word. Because, again, no one is immune from these storms of life, verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. So notice the contrast there. This person does not do what he has heard. He will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So you have the man who built his house on the rock, the man who built his house on the sand. Notice verse 27, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew. That's almost identical word for word in verse 25. What does that tell me? Tells me no one is immune from adversity. Everyone will experience the storms of life. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And then here's the difference. And it fell. And great was its fall. If you want to be a good citizen in 2023 in the face of adversity, a good citizen of heaven, when you experience your adversity, stand firm, brothers and sisters. Stand firm by being obedient to God's word, doing what the Bible says. Do not abandon all that you know to do. Back in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, not only being a good citizen of heaven means standing fast or standing firm, but also there in verse 27, it means striving together. Striving together. So this is a picture of a team. It's a picture of a team that is working together in order to achieve the same goal, striving together in one spirit with one mind. By the way, there was some division going on there at the church in Philippi. And so beginning today, continuing next Sunday and the following Sunday, you're going to hear a common theme that is going to come around again and again and again and again. And it's the theme of unity. This idea of striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, brothers and sisters, here at Emory Baptist Church, and compared to, believe it or not, most other churches, this is a large church. The average church size, considering all faith traditions in our country, the average church size is between 50 and 60. believe it or not. And so Emory Baptist Church is a rather large congregation. And in this congregation, there is a lot of diversity. And we are grateful and thankful for that. And I want you to know that, and it's pretty well established, it's not something that has to be reminded again and again, because again, I think it's understood, but just for the sake of reminder today, we don't all have to agree on everything. Because there, again, is diversity. There's a diversity in age. There's diversity in experience. There's diversity in background. There's diversity in education. We don't all have to agree on every single thing as it relates to Emory Baptist Church and as it even relates to the Christian life, but we do have to agree on the gospel. We cannot be diverse in the gospel. We cannot be your opinion here, your thought there, your experience over there when it comes to the gospel. We have to strive together on the gospel. That's what Paul says there at the end of verse 27. In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So let's just make sure that we understand clearly what is the gospel. If you're taking notes this morning, the gospel has four essential, necessary, required elements. Number one, a holy God. A holy God who is the creator of all things. And it's the holy God of the Bible. It's not the holy God of your imagination, the holy God of your opinion, the holy God of your preferences or your experience. It's the holy God of the Bible. And He is 100% holy. Without spot or blemish or defect, He is holy. Number two is humanity. Men and women, boys and girls, and we are sinful. Sinful humanity. Holy God, sinful humanity. God is so holy, we are so sinful that the two cannot be in fellowship with one another as is. We, because we are sinful humanity, are in need of a Savior, which is part number three. God made provision for us in His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, Savior of the world, 100% perfect, 100% sinless. And because we could never earn our salvation on our own, Jesus died on the cross in our place. He was my substitute. He is your substitute. He died on the cross in our place for our sin, but He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave to affirm and confirm everything that He had said, everything that He had done, separating Him, making Christianity different than any other faith tradition or world religion. But then the fourth essential component is that Jesus Christ invites us to be saved. You can't leave off the fourth part. Not only is God holy, not only are we sinful, not only is Jesus the solution to our problem, but Jesus invites us to be saved. He invites us to put our faith and trust in Him rather than self. And if you're here today and you have never put your faith and trust in the gospel, Jesus is inviting you to be saved today. And in just a moment, we will have a time of response, a public invitation, and we also will invite you to be saved today. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to be good citizens of heaven in 2023, in the face of adversity, we must stand fast. We must strive together. And then number 3, verse 28, we must signal courage. Signal courage. Paul says in verse 28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. The world is a scary place. And I said to you last Sunday and the previous Sunday that the devil, if you have been born again, the devil can do nothing to threaten your eternity. He can do nothing. You are safe and secure from all alarm. However, because he can do nothing to threaten your eternity, he will do everything he can to make your life on earth a living hell. And he will do it through sickness. He will do it through disease. He will do it through strife. He will do it through anger. He will do it through sin. But he does all of those things through lost people. Now, please understand this morning, I'm not saying, and I don't think that God's word says, ultimately, our enemy is not lost people. Don't hear me say that. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what God's word is saying. Ultimately, our enemy is the devil. And so don't ever lose sight of that. The world can upset us. The world can anger us. The world can offend us. But ultimately, our enemy is the devil. If you've been born again. But what Paul says is signal courage. Not in any way terrified by your adversaries, because when you do stand fast and when you do strive together, it is proof, verse 28, to the watching world of their perdition or their destruction, but to you and to me it is salvation, and that is from God. See, brothers and sisters, when the devil is trying to hurt us and harm us in this life, we need to remind the devil of the truth about him. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 in verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the body of Christ. The devil shall not prevail against the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is built on the rock that is Jesus. And Peter's testimony, by the way. And so, standing fast, striving together, signaling courage. But there's one last thing that I want us to see in verses 29 and 30. Paul says in verse 29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him. So Christ has given the Philippian believers this gift of belief. Kind of sounds odd to say it that way, but But he also says that he has given them to suffer for his sake. And so in a weird, unique way, Paul says that not only is your faith a gift, but to suffer for the gospel can be a gift. He says in verse 30, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Remember, Paul was suffering for the gospel. He was in chains for preaching the gospel. And he said to the Philippian church that sometime in the future, when you find yourself suffering because of the gospel, know that that was God's plan for you, and it is a gift from above. Well, how could it be a gift, Brother Richard? One last text, and it's in 1 Peter. Peter wrote his letter to those brothers and sisters there. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, talking about their trial, their tribulation, their suffering, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So be encouraged. Be encouraged if you're in the midst of the trial, and here's why, verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me help you there. Your adversity, my trial, our tribulation, when from God, is used to mold us and shape us more into the image of Christ. It's used to mold us and shape us more into the image of Christ so that on that day that we experience our Savior in heaven for eternity, that we will have more of an opportunity to be like Him. Because remember, He also suffered for us. In our place, for our sin. And so to suffer for Him is just simply an opportunity to be more like Jesus. This morning, our invitation for you is to be encouraged during a time of trial, to be encouraged in a time of tribulation, to be encouraged in a time of suffering. But it also is an invitation, as I said a moment ago, remember that gift of salvation. That gift of salvation that Jesus Christ offers you. Have you received it in your life? Have you received that gift of salvation of putting your faith and trust in Christ? If you've never have before, in just a moment, as I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I'm going to invite you to respond publicly today to God's word and that invitation to put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. I'm going to be standing here at the front in just a moment. Brother Ronnie will be standing with me. And if today you would put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, would you step out of one of these aisles, make your way here to the front? We'd love to welcome you and celebrate with you and counsel with you, rejoice with you. For calling on the name of the Lord to save you. Maybe you need to come here this morning to the front and just simply pray on bended knee. The storm in your life right now is fierce. It is beating against your house. It's beating against your life. Maybe you just simply need to come this morning and recommit to being obedient to God's word, even in the midst of trial. Being unified, standing courageously. We'd love to pray with you, love to give you the opportunity to pray alone, whatever the Lord leads you. Maybe you're visiting with us this morning. You are a guest, and Holy Spirit's been inviting you, leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you today. We'd love to welcome you on transfer of letter, your statement of faith, your baptism as a believer and follower of Christ. Our invitation will be for you. Would you pray with me this morning? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. That you have a purpose in our trial and tribulation. And Father, as we have heard in song, as we have sung ourselves, as we have heard from your word today, I pray, Father, today that we have been encouraged by your word. Continue to be at work in our lives, helping us to be good citizens of the kingdom of heaven in the face of adversity. Help us to live lives so that our conduct is worthy of the gospel. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd be at work in our midst, drawing men and women and boys and girls unto yourself today. Father in heaven, we love you. We're grateful and thankful for your love for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front ready to welcome you, would you come today on the very first stanza?